Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. This month, our guest is Jacqueline Del Valle Vidi Frederick, President of the Latino Outreach Council and local attorney. Welcome, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Brian. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm guessing that a lot of people don't know about Latino Outreach Council or its history. Could you talk a little bit about when it was founded and the circumstances for that?
Absolutely. And I have also encountered that for as long as the organization has been here, it's now just coming into it's a fore in terms of people understanding that we're here and what we're doing. But the organization was actually formed in 1994 by a group of people who wondered whether or not there was a need for an organization like this. And they actually did a very extensive survey and determined that actually there was a need to address the fact that there is right now a 22% Latino population in our county, and that there was a need to address some of their issues and also to help them integrate with the overall community.
So the main purpose of LOC, or Latino Outreach Council, is to help society at large, but to, in particular, to help the Hispanic or the Latino population be the best they can be.
Absolutely, and to feel welcome to be fully integrated in government affairs, in elections, in availing themselves of the resources that are available.
Yes, I remember when I first came to the county back in the early 90s that the population of the Latino was about 13-14%. So in a mere 20 years now, it's 22%. We were talking earlier that I believe statewide that's going to change dramatically too.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think it's important to recognize that our neighbor just to the south of us, Santa Maria, has a population of nearly 70% Hispanic Latino. And people that live in Santa Maria work here in San Luis Obispo. So really the effect of the Latino-Hispanic population is greater than the 22% who reside here. I think it was announced just this year, a couple months ago, that the Latino population in the state of California is now the majority. And by the year 2050, most of the people who live in the state will be Spanish-speaking.
Wow. That's incredible, because we all know that in any particular ethnic group, not everyone speaks the mother tongue. So the fact that an absolute majority would be Spanish speakers means that the numbers for being a part of the Latino group would be even higher.
Yes, and that's a government statistic, so they must know something about what the future holds for our population base here in California.
Well, that's good to know. It helps us plan. Now, among other things, and we're going to talk about some of the accomplishments and a little bit more about the history, but you have a big festival coming up in September.
We do. This is our annual Fiestas Patrias. It is a Mexican celebration of the independence of Mexico from France. And a lot of people think that Cinco de Mayo is the big Independence Day celebration. And actually, that's not true. That's just one of the celebrations. But this is the big one. And Latino Outreach Council has been hosting a Fiestas Patrias celebration for over 10 years. This will be our second year holding it at the Mission Plaza, and it is a spectacular cultural event that people absolutely love.
Now, the date for that in Mission Plaza, the Fiestas Patrias, will be Thursday, September 17th, 5 to 9 p.m., and it's free.
Yes, it is. It is our gift to the community.
And I'm noticing that there will be a whole bunch of events and presentations, music, food.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it is fantastic cultural event that features folklorico dancers, which are these dancers dressed in absolutely magnificent, colorful costumes, mariachis, the Aztec dancers from Cal Poly, and all of these folks will be situated right in front of the steps at the Mission Plaza. It's just the perfect location to have this event. And our main featured event is that the consul from Mexico, who is situated out of Oxnard, comes, and she performs the famous El Grito ceremony. We have dignitaries hold the flag representing the state, the county, and the city of San Luis Obispo, and it is an amazing ceremony to watch.
Very inspirational. Now, I believe my Spanish tells me that El Grito would be the shout or the cry.
It is the cry of freedom, exactly that, and believe me, she does a very dramatic job with that.
I don't know if people would know, but there was a time when France ruled Mexico, or at least parts of it, and Emperor Maximilian was on the throne, and Benito Juarez was involved, and very interesting times, our neighbor. And, of course, California was part of Mexico at one time as well.
That's right.
In your opinion, what would be some of the accomplishments, the major accomplishments of Latino Outreach Council in the past few years?
Well, I think in the past few years, the organization has completely regrouped. As you know, we're an all-volunteer organization, so this takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of dedication because we don't have staffing, we don't have funding, and we have worked hard, our core group, to really put Latino Outreach Council on the map. And I think part of the way that we've done that is by holding forums in order to invite people to attend. And we make sure that all of our forums are done bilingually, both in English and Spanish, so that we are indeed outreaching to our constituents, the people that we want to welcome and help encourage to integrate with the community. In the last election cycle, we held 4 candidates' forums with Spanish translation available. And I think that those forums actually put us on the map, and people came, hundreds of people came to each forum, and they recognized that we are making an effort to outreach, to provide an opportunity for everyone to learn about the issues and what resources our community has to offer. And then doing it bilingually also facilitates the Spanish speakers or people for whom English is a second language to be able to come and really understand what's going on.
I know enough about working with Latinos over the years to know that reaching out to them or getting them to attend an event is not necessarily that easy, or not necessarily the same way with other ethnic groups. For example, some might need transportation, some might attendees might need childcare.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and I've certainly found that to be true. Particularly, we are a very spread out county. We go from Napomo, Oceano, all the way to San Miguel. That's a long distance. So when we have a forum, we try to pick a situs that's centrally located, but then we do have to worry about transportation. So frankly, that is an issue that we're constantly struggling with. And I think even greater than that is the fact that when people come from a different culture where they don't have the same laws that we have, they don't have the same government structure or police structure, there's not a lot of confidence in authority. And in fact, there's a bit of fear of authority. So it is important for an organization like ours to reach out in a way that makes them comfortable, and where they feel like, okay, this is something that we can attend, and where, you know, we will feel welcome, and where we don't have to worry if we're undocumented that somebody's going to, that there's going to be some repercussion for that. And I think the fact that we do our programs in both Spanish and English, I think, is part of that. It's part of that outreach. And I think that has really worked for us very much. In fact, last November, we held an immigration forum where we had the Homeland Office come. I'm very, very proud of this, and do an entire presentation on our immigration laws in this country. And at one point, halfway between the program, the presenter asked whether or not anyone else needed to have the program continue in English, and no one raised their hand.
Interesting.
And I feel very, very proud of that, because it means that Latino Outreach Council is being recognized in a broad sense as the organization where everyone can feel comfortable to get information.
You know, you mentioned our county, which is large and diverse and very spread out. The transportation is not so easy going from one end to the other. And then you have people's reluctance to show up. It's so impressive that with no budget and with no staff, that the synergy of the people who give their time on the board of directors is so huge.
It's very impressive. Thank you, and I really appreciate your recognizing that, because it is true. It's a lot of work. I feel very passionate about this organization, and all the other members of our board do as well. We have an amazing board of actually very prominent people who feel very strongly that this is really important. This type of outreach is very important.
Yes, I should self-declare that I was on the board of directors for LOC for about 10 years a while back. You know, I want to talk a little bit about some trends that you see with moving our communities forward all together, all ethnic groups together. And we probably need to talk about some challenges, though. The whole immigration controversy or immigration discussion, I kind of feel like it's been hijacked, not that it isn't an issue or there aren't real things that are complex or dangerous or take a lot of thought to work it out. But and given that LOC is non-political or they provide information but not advocacy, how is LOC involved in that, Latino Outreach Council, or how do you think they should be involved?
Well, you're correct. The Latino Outreach Council is a nonpartisan group. We don't advocate for a political side one way or the other. We're non-political, nonpartisan, and I think that's very, very important because I think the issues that affect our society with regard to immigration and with regard to migrant workers crosses all the spectrums and is something that as a society we need to deal with. And I think where LOC comes in is making sure that all viewpoints are heard and that if there is a misperception or a misconception out there that, you know, we bring that information. So we consider ourselves educational.
I'd like to remind everyone that this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio on the Central Coast. Today, our guest is Jacqueline Del Valle Vidi Frederick, a local attorney and president of the Latino Outreach Council, a very important and successful group in the social evolution of our county. Now, going back to the sort of the activities that some people might consider political, if the Latino Outreach Council takes a position, I assume it's something that the board has to approve and discuss beforehand, before anything goes out on letterhead?
That's absolutely true. In fact, we're very careful about that because our board members consist of people from all political persuasions, and that's important to us because we want to make sure that our approach to the issues that affect our Latino population are balanced. And that we don't want to be a part of that political football that some of our political leaders or political candidates like to use this issue. And that's not something we want to participate in.
Do you invite or encourage members, elected officials, to participate in LOC?
Absolutely. In fact, from the time of its inception, a member of the Board of Supervisors has always sat on the board. Currently, Debbie Arnold is the representative from the Board of Supervisors on our board. At almost every single one of our general meetings, we have a representative from Senator Monning's office and Assemblyman Cacho Asajian's office. And we often have someone from Lois Kapp's office attend as well. And they do so just to be engaged, to hear what's going on with us, and also to provide a service to their constituents.
Now, there's so much that goes on with Latino culture and other activities, and I do want to mention once more the big celebration that's coming up on September 17th. In years past, that was an adjunct to the farmers market, and you guys were just too successful, I believe.
Well, yes. I'm happy to say that we were very politely asked to move our event to a larger venue because as people would hear the music start up, you know, the crowds would gather, and literally it got so big that we, you know, were blocking all the access to the streets, and, you know, there's certain rules and regulations with regard to access. So we got too big for our little corner on the street. And so last year we moved to the Mission Plaza, and I cannot imagine a more beautiful place or perfect place for this celebration. So I want to thank the Downtown Association for inspiring us to move to a bigger location. It's turned out wonderfully.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the other agencies that you have relationships with in the activities of the Latino Outreach? You mentioned some of the elected officials, but some other groups.
Absolutely. So let me start with the Board of Supervisors because they have been for years, very, very supportive of our organization. In fact, I want to publicly thank the Board of Supervisors for providing us with some funding on an annual basis so that we can hold this Fiestas Patrias event. And without their financial support, you know, I don't know if we'd be able to do that because we don't really have a budget. So we want to thank them for that. Additionally, we have always had really great support from Cacho Asajian, who at one time when he was on the Board of Supervisors was our board member, and he continues to be supportive. In fact, I'll mention that for 2 years now, Cacho has financed a small group of Latina women to attend the Latina Action Day in Sacramento.
Oh, how nice.
It was wonderful. It's held in May each year. It's put on by an organization called HOPE, which is Hispanics Organized for Political Equality, and it is just an inspirational day of Latinas, so Latin women, getting together. About 500 of us were there, talking about what a difference that we can make and inspiring women to get involved in political organizations, to get involved in politics, to run for office, to seek appointed positions. And it was very inspirational, and Cacho has sponsored us each year. This year, we did a scholarship, and we were able to select four promotores, which we can talk about in a bit, what the promotores are, to attend, and it was a fantastic event. So we do collaborate with our elected officials. We, of course, collaborate with the Consul of Mexico whenever they need something. For example, when they were doing their educating the public about the driver's license issue, the Consul of Mexico was actually holding workshops. And why is that important? It's important because, unfortunately, there are people that take advantage. And there was some fraud that was going on and fraudulent licenses being issued to people. So the Consul of Mexico held these official meetings where people could go. And so we help promote that so that people, you know, promote the fact that it's going on. So we work with the Consul of Mexico when they need something from us as well. And other organizations, Dignity Health, for example, is holding a health forum. We'll be participating there. They're going to be participating at our Fiestas Patrias with a booth. And so we try to work collaboratively with a lot of organizations and groups.
I seem to remember that some of the pillars that Latino Outreach Council focused on were income and health and education, things like that, that everybody needs need to be healthy and be able to earn a living. And those are probably still the core activities of LOC.
They certainly are the core activities. Education. In fact, Jim Brescia is now on our board. Because education is
superintendent of schools.
Superintendent of schools. We're very proud that he joined our board. Education is very important. And there are certain issues that are unique to somebody that comes from another country and is trying to, you know, engage and be successful in our education system. Health, very important, particularly with the introduction of Obamacare and all the new laws and regulations. And there's more going on with regard to new laws and regulations with regard to health care. They affect all of us, and they do affect our Latino population as well. We talked about immigration. We've had immigration forums because that is an ongoing topic and ongoing educational opportunity for us to help people understand, you know, how can they become documented in this country? What is the process for becoming a documented immigrant in this country?
Talk about the health thing a little bit. And I know that health is a big issue and it's expensive. And a lot of times there's a phenomenon where the parent might not speak English and they would depend on a child to be the interpreter back and forth. That's a little bit of a minefield, isn't it?
Well, it certainly can be. And in fact, we were talking earlier, I grew up with a mother who didn't speak English for many years. And so I was her interpreter. And this is not uncommon, even today, to have that go on. Because it is difficult to come here and learn English. If you're an adult, the kids, they learn English very quickly. But yes, it can be a minefield. And I have to tell you, the healthcare issue is a minefield even if you're English speaking, even if you're a lawyer. I don't know if you've gone on to the all the websites. Or if you've read your, 65-page brochure from your insurance carrier, it's a minefield for anybody in any language.
Yeah, it is certainly complicated. I know when the children do it, they might have the language, but not necessarily looking at it with an adult point of view or that maturity.
Well, this is why, our educational forums are so important.
We were also talking earlier about something that I think is close to both of our hearts, and that is the great gift that can happen when a young child learns another language besides their native language. For example, if it's English, they would learn Spanish or Italian. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Languages are my personal passion. I studied both French and Spanish. I grew up in a home where Spanish was spoken during the week and French was spoken on the weekends. And I feel that it was a gift to me to be able to understand and speak three languages. In Europe, it is absolutely common for children to learn multiple languages. And it is a shame that children in this country are not afforded that opportunity at a young age when their minds are the most pliable and they can easily learn a second or even a third language. In these days where the world has become very small and people travel extensively now, that the ability to be able to speak another language, I think, is such an advantage. And I think the Spanish language in our country, because we are so close to other Spanish-speaking countries and we do commerce and they come and live here, is going to be absolutely important for our American children to be able to speak Spanish.
Sure, and we all know that south of our border isn't just Mexico, but a dozen other countries where Spanish is the language of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. My mother was born and raised in Colombia, South America, and there are people in our county from a wide variety of different Latin American cultures and Spain.
Yes, all of which are just a wonderful and a great mosaic. What do you see as some trends or some future activities that the LOC might be involved in the next year or so?
Well, we're thinking about doing a forum on our justice system and our legal system as it affects the Latino population. I think that's going to be an important forum for us to do. We are planning to do more candidates forums next year. We will be collaborating with the Women League of Voters, speaking of collaboration, because they have on their mission to reach out to Hispanic voters, and we have as our mission the same. And so we are going to join forces and do that in 2016. We will also be holding another cultural event that we've done now for 2 years, and that is Fiesta Latina, which is a dinner dance with mariachis and Latin dancing. That will be next April or May. So, and we'll continue to have our educational forums as well. We'll probably have to see what's going to happen with immigration, but we're talking with Congresswoman Capp's office about doing another immigration forum.
Do you think, this is hard to look in the crystal ball of immigration, but things are changing. Do you think things might change before the presidential election, or we just have to wait and see?
Well, that is such a dynamic.
maybe for our next show.
Yeah, it's a dynamic on a daily basis when you just turn on the news. Okay, what's coming next? But I think what has happened with this election cycle is the fact that it's being talked about at least and not sort of being brushed under the rug, or that it's not being just a mouth, something that people are talking about in terms of not really effectuating any kind of change. I think clearly this country needs to have an effective policy because we have no policy right now.
Right.
And this is why we're in the situation we're in right now.
What a deal. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, our guest has been Jacqueline Del Valle Vidi Frederick, local attorney and president of the Latino Outreach Council. Thank you, Jacqueline, for joining us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.